There is an alternate telling of this story of the woman found in adultery, and in it, Jesus stands up and says, "Let the person without sin cast the first stone." And a stone sailed over the crowd and hit the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus said, "Mother." So yes, there were people without sin, but Mary wasn't there, fortunately. The story we have continues our Lenten journey because it is about the fulfillment of God's promises to all of us. Now, some people may say, the Pharisees might have said that what Jesus was doing was altering the law. But as Jesus himself said, he came not to alter the law, but to fulfill it. And he does. He shows what God was trying to say all through the Old Testament. And it's about the mercy of God, the justice of God, the desire of God for reconciliation, the desire that we all love one another and work for the salvation of one another. Because that's God's desire, that every single human being be saved. So Jesus is simply trying to make clear to people that that's God's plan. It's not to destroy people when they go awry, but rather God and we are called to go forth and to draw people back to Christ so that there can be this forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, the Pharisees were hoping that Jesus might play his hand in such a way that he would get in trouble, but very clever, he put the burden on them. And these were people who would have really loved to have heard Jesus say, "Yes, by all means, stone her, because that is the law." But he gets around that by putting the burden of proof, so to speak, on the people. "What do you know about sin and forgiveness? You are sinners, yet you want to stone another sinner." That's not God's desire. What God wants for us is an opportunity at all times to come back to the Lord, to be reconciled to the Lord. So notice in today's gospel, it's not that Jesus doesn't judge the woman. He does. He judges her. He says, "You're a sinner." He says that in this way, "Go and sin no more." So he's acknowledging that she has sin. But he also does not condemn her or punish her. She goes off with the possibility, with the hope, that from there on she would not commit another sin. And that's what God gives to us, that possibility, that hope, and the help that when we have been forgiven of our sins, we will not sin again. Now there's a truth of our faith that we don't hear very often, but it goes like this: none of us ever have to sin. None of us ever have to sin. No one is forced to sin. You cannot coerce a person to sin. We have to choose to do it. So that would mean that in the world there are people who have never sinned. For whatever reason, they have had the courage, they have taken the graces from God and used them so that they have avoided sin. Now, I wish I could say that for myself. But when I go to confession, I get a clear slate, a clean slate, and I can go forth and never sin again. That's the good news. Now, we always say, well, we're all sinners. The Pope has said that in reality, we have sinned, but there's always the possibility that we will not sin in the future. So what Jesus is doing in the gospel today is saying, I'm going to keep giving you another chance, another opportunity to go forth and to be a faithful person, to follow God, to avoid sin, and to do the good. And of course, as Catholics, we know that whenever we sin, we can go to the sacrament of penance and have our sins cleansed, and that's it. With those sins, they're gone. In that first reading, we're told that God wants to do something new. He doesn't want us to keep looking back, and God doesn't look back. When we confess our sins, he takes our sins and puts them behind his back, and he's not going to look back at them and point to them and say, "You remember what you did before?" No, he's not going to do that. Why? Because he wants us to be free of the burden of sin once we have confessed it. So Jesus is giving that wonderful gift to that woman. He gives it to us that we do not have to sin again, and God doesn't want our condemnation or punishment when we are in the midst of sin, but he wants to give us time. He wants to give us an opportunity so that we can turn back to the Lord, confess our sins, and receive the mercy of God. Now, ultimately, that mercy of God is combined with justice, which means God's going to be honest, but that comes at the end when we die. Then we will have the mercy and justice of God coming together, and God, in all honesty, will judge us, and we will be either condemned to hell or we will be admitted into heaven. But in the meantime, we have chance after chance, possibility after possibility of doing what we're called to do as followers of Jesus. And in turn, unlike the Pharisees, unlike the scribes, we're called not to seek the condemnation and punishment of others who have fallen into sin, but we're called to seek their reconciliation, to go forth and say, God wants to heal you of that sin. He doesn't want you to continue in that sin. Because when you sin, you hurt yourself. You hurt other people. You hurt your relationship with God. That's not what God wants. That's not what we want as a community of believers. So we too are not called to keep nitpicking and challenging people about their sinfulness, but rather to invite them to the forgiveness that God wants for them. And that's part of the good news. Just as Jesus suffered and died so that you and I could be free from the power of sin and death, that's what he wants for everyone. And a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people live in despair and darkness because they think, why would God love me? Why would he forgive me? And yet he does want that. He does love them, and he wants to have them forgiven. He wants them to be reconciled to himself. So that's the good news that we're called to remember because we have received it, and we're also called to remember it so that we can share it with other people who are still chained to that burden of sin. They're still slaves to the power of sin and death. So in the mercy of God, we have received grace upon grace, and we're called to share that mercy with other people. And seriously, to go forth, to find those who are lost, find those who are burdened by sin, and tell them the good news that God wants them to be free of it, so that, again, they never have to sin again. So we are in solidarity with our brothers and sisters because God has sent us forth to be with our brothers and sisters and say to them, I've been forgiven. God wants you to be forgiven. God wants to relieve you of the burden of sin. Come, be forgiven by God. That, again, is the fulfillment of God's preaching of the gospel, which began way, way back with Adam and Eve, but is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So we have that complete story, and so it's up to us not only to live it in our own lives, but to proclaim it to others. And again, especially proclaim it to others who are chained to sin, who are slaves to sin, and need that freeing word so that they too can go forth free from the power of sin and death, and perhaps and hopefully never sin again.